All right, let's build an advanced tonal riser in Ableton Live from scratch using resampling with clean routing. This is the kind of riser that actually sounds musical and intentional in drum and bass, not just noise going up. And we're going to print it in a way that stays tidy, repeatable, and easy to reuse later. Set your project to 174 BPM. Think like a DNB arranger for a second. We usually want a pre-drop section that's 16 bars, so mark out a 16-bar region right before your drop. Also set your grid so you can place automation accurately, like 1/8 or 1/16. You're going to be drawing curves and timing moves, and the grid helps keep it controlled. Now the big concept. Clean routing, no record resampling from the master and hope it's the right thing. We're building a simple 3-track pipeline that you can reuse forever. Create 3 tracks. First, a MIDI track. Name it Riser Source. This is your synth generator. In the output routing for this track, set audio to not to the master. Set it to a second track we're about to make called Riser FX. That's the key move. We're keeping the source out of the master so the print is always intentional. Second, create an audio track called Riser FX. This track receives the synth audio and becomes your sound design playground. Set audio from to Riser Source, and choose Post FX if you plan to put anything on the source that you want captured. Set monitoring to and so you can hear it live. Set audio to master, so this is what you actually hear in the room while you're designing. Third, create another audio track called Riser Print. This is your recorder. Set audio from to Riser FX, and set it to Post Mixer. Post Mixer is important because it captures your fader moves and pan moves from the FX track too. Then set monitoring on the print track to OFF. Monitoring OFF prevents doubling, phase weirdness, and the classic, why is this suddenly louder and flangey? Problem. Only the FX track should be monitored. That's the template. Source feeds FX. FX feeds print. Clean. Readable. Zero spaghetti. Now let's make it tonal. Go back to Riser Source and Load Operator. We're going for controlled harmonics, a clear fundamental that can grow into a richer, more aggressive tone without turning into harsh, random top end. Pick an operator algorithm that gives you a couple carriers plus FM. Different live versions label them slightly differently, so don't panic if my exact number doesn't match yours. The idea is you want oscillator A as your main tone, oscillator B as a supporting harmonic layer, and oscillator C as an FM modulator that we can fade in over time. Set osc to a sine wave. That's your clean fundamental. Set osc B to sine or triangle. Triangle gives a bit more edge. Sine is smoother. Set osc C to sine as well. Set a level to around minus 6 dB, B level to around minus 12 dB, and set C level all the way down at the start. Literally off, minus infinity. We'll automate C in later as the tension ingredient. For tuning, keep at 1.00. Put B at 2.00 so it's one octave up, giving you that harmonic sheen as it rises. Put C at 2.00 or 3.00. Higher ratios tend to sound more metallic when FM comes in, which is great for DNB, but it can get sharp fast, so we'll bring it in gradually. Now enable operator's filter. Choose LP24. Set the filter frequency around 600 Hz to start. Set resonance somewhere like 0.7 to 1.1, and if there's drive, use just a touch. This is important. A tonal riser feels expensive when it starts filtered and controlled, then earns its brightness over time. Next, make a 16-bar MIDI clip on Riser Source. Pick the key of your track. If you're in F minor, start with an F. Use one sustained note for the full 16 bars. Try F2 or F3 depending on how bright you want it. F2 is weightier. F3 tends to speak more in the mid-range. The whole point is, you're not rising noise, you're rising a musical anchor. Now the movement. The riser lives or dies by automation. We want two main motions. Pitch rise and brightness rise, plus a bit if it's getting more dangerous harmonic content near the end. For pitch, you've got two solid approaches. The quick musical way is pitch bend inside the MIDI clip. Open clip envelopes, go to MIDI control, then pitch bend. Draw a smooth curve upward. Before that, make sure your pitch bend range is set. Depending on your setup, you can set it in operator or in the track's MIDI settings. Set it to plus 12 semitones for a controlled 1-octave rise across the 16 bars. If you want it more intense, you can go plus 24, but I'd suggest using plus 24 more like a last 8 bars move, not the whole thing. Otherwise, it arrives too early and has nowhere to go. The other method is automating transpose or coarse tuning in operator. That can feel a bit more synth-like and sometimes avoids pitch bend artifacts. Either method is fine. Just pick one and commit, because stacking both can get weird. Now brightness automation. Over the 16 bars, open operators filter from about 600 Hz up to something like 8 to 12 kHz. Don't make it linear. A good teacher trick here. Slow change at the start, faster change near the end. That's how tension feels natural. Also automate OSC level, your FM amount, from minus infinity up to somewhere like minus 18 to minus 10 dB by the end. Tasteful. If you push FM too hard, you get that painful whistle that eats the mix and makes your drop feel smaller. At this point you should have a smooth tonal rise, it's climbing in pitch, opening in brightness and getting more harmonically complex. Now we make it sound like drum and bass. Go to Riser FX and build a controlled effects chain. Think aggressive, but disciplined. If you just slam distortion and reverb, you'll get a big wash that sounds exciting solo, then totally ruins the pre-drop space. Start with EQ8. Put a high pass filter around 120 to 200 Hz, fairly steep. In DNB, you usually don't want your riser fighting the sub or making the low mids wide. If it gets piercing later, you can do a small dip around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. You can automate that dip to engage more near the end if needed. Next, saturator. Try analog clip or soft sign. Drive it 2 to 6 dB, then compensate the output so you're not just getting louder. If you want, enable soft clip for a bit of safety. The goal is density, not pain. Now add auto filter. Set it to band pass or high pass depending on the vibe. Band pass can give you that talking, focused sweep. High pass keeps it airy and rising. Turn on the LFO, sync it to tempo, and set the rate to 1/8 or 1/4. Keep the amount small at first, then automate the LFO amount to increase toward the end. That's your rolling modulation that gives neuro energy even if the source is simple. Then time-based effects. Hybrid reverb or standard reverb. Plate or chamber is a great starting point. Set decay around 2.5 to 6 seconds and automate it higher as you approach the drop. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds keeps the attack clear. High cut the reverb around 6 to 10 kHz so it doesn't turn into fizzy hash. Then echo. Set the time to 1/8 dotted or 1/4. Feedback around 15 to 35%. A little modulation is nice. Filter the delay, high pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 7 to 10 kHz. That keeps it from smearing the whole mix. Finally, utility. Automate width over time. Start maybe 70 to 90%, then open up to 130 to 160% near the end, and do a mono check at least once. Temporarily set width to zero and make sure the riser doesn't vanish. If it collapses badly, you've probably made the sides do too much of the important tonal work. Now let's add the arrangement trick that makes it feel like Riedel DNB structure instead of one long ramp. We're going to create tension steps. Across bars 1 to 8, keep it subtle. Let it sit under the drums. Bars 9 to 12, start bringing in more harmonic tension, a bit more saturation drive, a bit more filter opening, more LFO motion. Bars 13 to 16, get aggressive and rhythmic. In the last two bars, add auto pan on the FX track, set phase to 0 degrees, so it's basically tremolo, not panning. Start the rate at 1/8, then automate faster, up to 1/16 in the final bar. Bring the amount up somewhere, between 30 and 70% depending on how dramatic you want it. This creates that gated acceleration that screams drop incoming. And here's a nasty little trick for the final half bar. Do a quick low-cut sweep down, then snap back up. It's like a fake drop tease. Even if the listener doesn't consciously notice it, their brain does. It creates a momentary oh, then the tension slams back in. Before we print, do one pro-level sanity check. Gain staging. On Riser FX, before reverb and delay, you ideally want your peak around minus 12 to minus 9 dBFS. Not because quieter is more pro, but because it makes your prints repeatable. If you hit the reverb too hard, the tail behaves differently each time and your wet print becomes unpredictable. A great habit is putting a utility at the very top of the FX chain as a trim control. Then if you decide the synth needs to be louder or softer, you adjust that trim and your whole chain stays calibrated. Now printing. Two-pass workflow. Wet and dry. This is huge for flexibility. First, the wet print. Arm riser print. Confirm its input is riser FX. Post mixer. Monitoring still OFF, then record the full 16 bars. You now have a committed, ready-to-edit audio riser with your whole FX identity baked in. Second, the dry print, and yes, it's worth it. Duplicate the Riser FX track and name it Riser FX DRY. Bypass most effects. Keep only a safety EQ and high pass so it's not rumbling. Then switch Riser print input to that DRY track and record again. Why do we do this? Because later, when you want the same riser idea for a different drop or a different breakdown, you can reprocess the dry audio in a new direction without rebuilding the synth and automation from scratch. Quick note on latency and alignment. If you're using heavy devices like hybrid reverb in high quality or oversampling distortion, you might feel latency when performing automation. You can toggle reduced latency when monitoring while recording moves, then go back for final render. And if you're stacking layers like dry, wet, and a metal layer, zoom in and make sure the starts line up. If not, nudge by a few samples or use track delay. Tight alignment matters when you're layering the same performance. Now post-edit like a DNB producer. On the printed audio clip, add a small fade-in, like 20 to 80 milliseconds, just to remove clicks. Consolidate the clip so it's easy to manage. For warping, Complex or Complex Pro usually works best for harmonically rich risers. Then do final shaping on the printed track. EQ out mod around 200 to 500 Hz if it's building up, and use a limiter gently just catching peaks, like 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction max. If you want extra grit, a tiny touch of Redux can work, but be careful, Redux can make the top end spitty fast. Use it like seasoning, not the meal. Now, advanced variations you can try once the basic version is working. One of my favorites is a two-stage pitch narrative. Instead of a straight ramp, do something like bars 1 through 12 rising slowly from 0 to plus 7 semitones, then bars 13 through 16 rising faster from plus 7 to plus 12, or even plus 19 if you want it to feel like it's getting pulled upward at the end. This reads more like composition, less like a generic sweep. Another musical trick: tension by scale degree. Keep the riser mostly anchored, then in the last two bars step to a spicy note like the minor second, the tritone, or the seventh. In F minor, flirting with GB near the end creates instant darkness. You can do this by duplicating the MIDI clip and changing just the final section, then printing and crossfading layers. And if you want width that translates, try mid-side EQ on the FX track. Boost a gentle shelf on the sides from 4 to 6 kHz near the end, while keeping the mid around 1 to 3 kHz controlled so it stays forward, but not painful. This audio version is shortened for playback.